Hello, Defocused listeners. It is once again that time of year when we remind you about how you can support this podcast by becoming a member of The Incomparable. You can sign up for a monthly or annual pledge and support the podcast directly with money. Here's how you do it. You go to theincomparable.com/members and sign up. You can choose which shows on the network you'd like to support. If you just check the box for Defocused, your contribution will come to us after a few fees are taken out. If you listen to other podcasts on the Incomparable Network, you can also check their boxes, and your contribution will be shared equally by all of the shows that you want to support. As a thank you for supporting us, members receive lots of extras. There are several exclusive podcast feeds, including an ad-free version of The Incomparable Mothership, a special feed full of bonus episodes that only members get to hear, and bootlegs of live recording sessions, which for us always includes an after show of questionable bonus material. New members will also receive free Incomparable swag as well. For our bonus episode this year, you guessed it, we watched Shrek the Third, continuing our extremely off-the-rails series on the beloved DreamWorks franchise. Micah Sargent is back, and as always, takes us far, far away from our comfort zones. There are membership contribution levels at $5, $10, and $20 per month, and annual equivalents are available as well. And if you're already a member, it's easy to increase your pledge to a higher level and get some special goodies in return, including some free Incomparable swag. So if you'd like to support us, head on over to theincomparable.com/members and sign up. Thank you very much. Hello.
Whoa.
What?
You sound like you're a fax machine.
Oh, Dropbox is still on. Hang on. I sound like I'm a fax machine.
Yeah. Also, for some reason, remember how we were talking about the bad fabric cloth swirly swishy background things?
Yeah, we're picture in picture now.
Yeah. Wait.
Just to screw with us.
What is the matter with these people?
What if I close the chat? No, it's still picture in picture if I close the chat.
Why? Why do they do
and
this?
There's another new Skype update available, so maybe they'll change it again.
Oh, great.
Oh, why does that... How do I make this pain go away now?
Isn't that what we all want to know?
Yeah. My back has been very sore lately.
Yeah, well, you just got very digitally again.
Oh, I got digitally? I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Together mode. What does together mode do? This is that thing where you can, like... Hang on. This is the thing where you can, like, put our faces... it's not going to try and do video, is it? No, I don't want to do that.
Is this an amphitheater? What am I looking at?
I think it's supposed to put our video feeds, like, sitting next to each other. I don't want to do that.
Oh, and then, like, it would cut us out and, like, put us in here as if we were all, like, in a meeting together in this amphitheater, I guess?
Yeah, exactly. You've seen those, I think it's a Microsoft Teams feature, right? Where you can all look like you're sitting in a, like a college lecture room or something.
Yeah, it's very dystopian. So anyway, we should probably start the podcast instead of discussing.
Oh, we started already. This is it. We're doing it. We're going. Oh.
What's in Skype is in the show, I guess. Anyway, how are you?
I'm all right. You know, ups and downs, pros and cons. It's
ins and outs.
And
what have you?
Yes, there have been ins and outs and what have you. It's one of those weeks where, like, it's not like critical deadline busy with anything, but there's many things going on in multiple directions all at the same time, which melts my brain faster than just doing normal things, one at a time. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Multitasking. I'm not good at the multitask. I don't like the multitask.
No, me neither. I mean, here's the thing. I don't like being idle while I wait for something, so it's good to have some other, like, backup project to keep myself busy. However, at the same time, it usually winds up not being the situation of them, like, fitting together perfectly in an interlocking form in my schedule. It's just more like, both of these things are due at the same time, and both of these things have nothing to do at the same time. And it's like, well, what's the point of having these two things? And it's like, well, here's a third thing for you to work on, keep you busy for right now. And then it...
distract you from the other two
things. Yeah, and then that is when things really... meltdown. Yeah.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Mm-hmm. But can't complain. I mean, I can't complain. I do complain. I am complaining. I mean,
if you better learn to complain, because we got an hour to fill here, and if you're not going to complain about anything, I don't know what we're going to talk about.
Well,
it
really grinds my gears. Anyway, so, yeah, I don't know. I mean, we didn't, no movie this week.
Is that just a Family Guy bit, or did it come from somewhere else?
I don't know. I kind of am not sure, because it seems like one of those things where someone's expression of grinds my gears probably existed prior to Seth MacFarlane saying it in Family Guy, but the only reason why anyone says it is because Seth MacFarlane said it in Family Guy as part of that, whatever that was, the fake Peter Griffin news segment thing that he had where he could rant on whatever was bothering him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's us. Doing his Dennis Miller. We're Peter Griffin on the local news.
Yes. Yes. That's exactly what we are. And
we're here to tell, America to F off.
Yeah. Cause we have, just the same amount of intelligence and charm as Family Guy, so that's good.
Mm-hmm. Well, they say it's a very smart show.
Yeah, I'm not sure who says that. You'd have to point them out to me.
It's all these people today or whatever retweeting. Oh, 35 years since the start of The Simpsons. Like, great. I mean, that's not the same thing, but it's another smart cartoon that everyone loves. And it's like, okay, cool. Well, don't care either.
You only hate The Simpsons because you're cousin loves The Simpsons so much that it turns you off to The Simpsons.
I don't dislike The Simpsons out of spite. I don't have a feel. The Simpsons provide no strong feelings for me.
That's provide some mediocre spite for you, I guess.
I just don't care.
You do care.
I don't care.
You do care. Otherwise, you wouldn't bring it up. You brought up The Simpsons. I didn't even bring up The Simpsons.
Well, the Family Guy and The Simpsons are basically the same thing as far as I'm concerned.
Dan, is there an email address you would like people to reach out to you at?
What is our show's email address? Is it defocusedshow@gmail.com? I forget.
Oh, I don't know, but you're responsible for whatever spam gets generated from that. It's just not, they're not comparable. Although it is probably comparable in the same way that the early years of The Simpsons are more notable and revered than I would say anything since 2000, at least, probably, with few exceptions. It's just not the kind of thing where I keep up with it, but apparently so many people do that you know, you can be a voice actor and make tons and tons of money doing that.
Speaking of these shows, did you know South Park's still on TV, sort of?
Yeah, I was surprised too, because it was in the news recently because of whatever the negotiations were that are going to wind up bringing it to Paramount Plus eventually, because it is a Viacom family of products thing, because it's on Comedy Central, but they had sold off their rights, I think, initially to Hulu, and then they sold those to someone else in the interim. I think it's HBO Max. And so it generates a lot of money for Comedy Central and Viacom. But it also makes people not subscribe to Paramount Plus. So that is what they're trying to rope them in for. And then, like you said, it made me realize it was still on the air. I just really haven't given it the time of day in many, many, many years.
I think it's not like doing, it's not like a show anymore. They're doing like elongated specials or something now, which is a funny thing to think about because it's South Park, but
yeah,
those guys are still doing their thing. However many decades later it has.
Yeah.
Well, it's like 20 years. I don't know.
You don't
watch much television beyond the Star Trek.
No, that's not true. I watched, all of, Our Flag Means Death. That's the
weird, the goofy pirates.
The gay pirate show.
Oh, okay, it's a gay pirate show. I don't honestly know enough about it. I've seen like two still images of it. I don't know anything about it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't think I'm spoiling it for anyone because this is how it was sort of presented to me on the internet and mentioned is like, oh, it's a gay pirate show, and I was thinking, yeah, I get it. You guys like ship Taika Waititi and the main actor or whatever on Tumblr. Like, I understand how this works. And then I watched the show and I was like, oh, no, this is actually a gay pirate show. So it was kind of funny in that regard. It is not as like knee-slapping hilarious as I was expecting it to be, especially from the get-go. It's kind of a slow start. But, you know, it has a sort of warmth and charm to it that is entertaining, as well as playing off of a lot of the stereotypes and quirks of pirate stuff. And they used an LED virtual stuff. Production wall thing in order to do disguise.
Oh, is that right? I didn't realize that.
Yep. That's what makes it good.
I mean, it's probably easier than going out on a real boat trying to shoot stuff.
Yeah, I would imagine so. But
have you watched any of The Severance yet? I don't know what that is, but people have been saying the name of the show in all caps on the internet.
I watched the first episode because it was free to watch to anyone, because Apple TV Plus does this promotional thing where they're like, watch the first episode, get hooked. And so I watched it and I was hooked and I did want to pursue it. And I asked some people who had watched the other episodes that had come out afterwards. I was like, so is it actually worth resubscribing? Like, is the show going somewhere or is it going to just make...
Oh, you don't pay them for that?
Oh, no, I stopped that because I was very angry at them when I was watching Foundation. And my... I had resubscribed to watch Ted Lasso season 2, binged it, and then it was getting towards the tail end of Foundation. I was like, I don't even want to pay another month to watch the rest of the show. It's so terrible. So I didn't even see the finale of it. But yeah.
Wait, what's Foundation?
Foundation is the one with Lee Pace and what's his face? Who was laying on Mad Men? Jared Harris. It's just not written very well, unfortunately. It's written like crap. It's pretty bad. Just like not in a diverged from the source material kind of way. Like, I don't care. It's bad television. So that bothered me. Just like a modern day show where, you know, they have like an interesting premise and the first couple episodes are interesting. And then all of a sudden, things are just kind of like happening in order for stuff to move around and people to go different places week to week. And then you realize I'm just watching this show where nobody's done anything for 6 episodes, basically. And then it's like, oh, wait, hurry up. We got to finish up the season. Now it's time for all those chess pieces we were moving around to get to where they need to go. And it just frustrated me a lot. Yeah. Just in terms
of
writing.
Can you feel that as you're moving through a show these days when it feels like, I don't know, maybe Lost is the thing that broke us all, where you're like, oh, all these pieces are going to fit together, and then they didn't really. That now, when you're watching a show, you can kind of tell when writers are just kind of like, look at us, we're setting stuff up over here, and you're like, I don't think you are. You're just kind of doing stuff to try to distract us. Can you feel that when you watch a show?
Yeah, but not exactly in the way you describe, because there is, I think, something with Lost where it's like, we're going to set up stuff at the beginning of the series and we're going to pay it off at the end of the series. And Battlestar Galactica was kind of like this too, where it's like, we're going to do this thing, we're going to go find Earth. And then at the end of the series, they, you know, had tried to, like, they worked themselves into a corner with what they were trying to do. And I feel like with a lot of these shows, you know, if you're doing something across many seasons, things aren't going to wind up where you think they're going to be by the time you get there. But with these modern shows where you have, you know, a whole season either drops or is finished and released weekly, which is more often the case, the writers have worked on the whole entire thing, built out the entire thing. It's all like a cohesive block where the storytelling happens. And the detriment there is that sometimes stuff happens in one episode that happens only because it needs to pay off in a later episode. And you don't understand why this thing is even occurring. Like, why bring up this thread in the story at all? And it's because it needs to be there for later. And it is unfortunate in that way. And it also results in the situation where we know where we want the beginning of the series, the beginning of the season to be, and we know where we want the end of the season to be. And then the middle of the season is just other things that occur. And it is very bad to watch that. All of the modern Star Trek shows that I've been watching, as you were mentioning, that is a lot of my television consumption. they all suffer from that problem, where they're like, here's our season thing. And then you get halfway through the season, you're like, what? Why is any of this stuff even happening? They're just like treading water in order to get to the finale. And then you get to the finale and they're like, ta-da. And it's like, but this is stupid because you just made me sit through all this crap in order to get to this thing that I don't really care about at the end. So it's very frustrating. And I thought, you know, if you worked on Star Trek Picard, cover your ears right now. But I thought that it was going to be a little different this season because the first three episodes were very strong and seemed to have
correct. Yeah, you had a lot of positive things to say early on.
Yeah, it seemed to correct for a lot of the problems that we had initially. And then other things started happening that were more like what other shows were doing that I didn't like very much. And so I was a little distracted by that. So they don't have much time left in order to rectify it, because another thing about these modern day shows versus, you know, like Lost or whatever, is like they're only 10 episodes. So if you're on episode 7 and you wasted it all on a bunch of crap, then you only have 3 episodes left in order to like pay off all the mysteries you've been building for the entire season. So that's kind of an important thing. And I didn't feel that way about Our Flag Means Death because they didn't have any like mysteries and what does it mean and where is this going to go?
Is there a through line through that show?
There is actually, but it's a satisfying through line where it's just like, there is something pleasant that happens in this episode and then it is referenced later. And you're just like, okay, I like that, because you're not like setting up like, where is this going to go? Cause it that's not the point. You're just saying like, here's a funny thing. And then later on you say, remember that funny thing? And then that works fine. I like that. You're not like trying to like tease something out for an extended period of time. You know?
I think I know what you mean. Sure.
Yeah. I don't know. So what other shows are you watching?
You should just watch more silly things and less serious things.
Well, that's why I didn't want to watch. So listeners, you may be wondering why there is no movie this week. Part of it is because last night Dan told me he was going to sit down and watch the new Batman movie, which is it called The Batman or is it called Batman?
It's called The Batman.
The Batman. Okay.
The Batman.
The Batman. Capital T. So Dan was sitting down to watch that movie last night and then he was very quiet. And I didn't have the scheduling bandwidth in order to do that last night. So I was like, maybe I'll find some time today or in the morning, I'll wake up early or something. And then I was like, it didn't happen. And then when I asked about it, Dan did not have an enthusiastic response. So then I was like, this is not going to be worth 3 hours of my time trying to like run around and do all the stuff I have to do and squeeze in this movie.
You know, whatever. I think you're not far off, but like, you know, when the movie came out, I think the reaction I saw online was either silence or that one thing with the chase was really cool and really liked it or whatever. When I watched it, aside from being 3 hours long, and requiring multiple bathroom breaks, it was exactly what I expected, kind of. I mean, it was like interesting and entertaining, but like if you saw the trailer and you're like, oh, this is an interesting take on Mr. Batman. He's all emo and doesn't look anything like the Bruce Wayne we're familiar with. And you got your bad guys here doing their stuff. It's that, I mean, and then it's a more, I don't know, traditional detective style story than other Batmans, but like, That's not like a deeper meaning to anything or whatever, but like, yeah, you know, I don't regret having watched it, and maybe we'll talk about it someday, mm-hmm. but you know, it's fine. It's a movie.
See, now I spent my Sunday, watching a movie in a movie theater for the first time since January of 2020.
Oh, you watched the other one that everyone loves and is excited about.
Yes. Everything Everywhere All at Once. And I'm not going to spoil that for you or for the audience, but I will say that I sat there with my mask on, away from other people, and I watched the 2-hour, 19-minute movie, and it was worth every 2 hours and 19 minutes of being in a movie theater. So, plus the 18 minutes of trailers, which I completely forgot is a thing that happens when you go to a movie theater.
Did you have movie facts? Were there movie facts?
There were. No, there wasn't movie facts because I was at the Landmark. So it wasn't movie facts as much as it was like those, you know, like behind the scenes documentaries where like, check out how we made the Northman. And it's like, I don't care how you made the Northman. Like it's a guy and he's got a fur on and he's in
electronic
the mud.
Press kit kind of behind the scenes things that they always throw up there.
Yeah, I don't care for those. But that is exactly what the pre-trailer content was, the before 1 p.m. content.
Nice.
Yeah.
Of the Northmen specifically?
Yeah, it was all about the Northmen. They seem to be...
Oh, you love Vikings, right?
No.
That's what it is, Vikings?
Vikings, yeah. I don't care a lot. I mean, I'm sure someone cares, and I'm sure it might... It's probably, you know, a decent enough movie. But I just...
You just turned into Jay Leno right there.
I just didn't really care. Can you guys hear about this movie? This the Northmen?
You guys heard about this? You see this?
I didn't see it. No. I don't know. But Everything Everywhere All at Once was very good, and I'm glad that I saw it. And I liked that I saw it in a movie theater, strangely enough, because I have been pretty negative about the movie theater experience of late. Not because I think, you know, like, get rid of movie theaters or something like ridiculous like that. And I certainly wouldn't ever say that my home viewing experience is better than being in a movie theater. But it just often is not the case that it's worth the effort to go to a movie theater to be near other people that I don't know for no good reason. And so... This was an experience, and I'm glad that, you know, I waited for this. I didn't go see like a Marvel movie or something. Not that there's anything wrong with that, mind you, but like, I think you needed
that movie is not Marvel related, is it?
No, it isn't. And okay. I had to disabuse Jason of this notion too, because he's like, I don't want to see it because it's a superhero movie. And I said, no, it isn't. And he said, because it has to do with the multiverse. And I was like, no, superhero movies.
That's what I was going to say. There's a ton of marketing about how it's like a multiverse movie. And it's like, is this related to Marvel? Because literally Doctor Strange movie with multiverse in the title is coming out in like a couple of weeks. So maybe.
No, it's not. It's not at all. In fact, there was like an interview with the two directors, writer directors, who worked on it, like a buddy duo called the Daniels, and they had been working on it for 10 years, and then, you know, they saw like Into the Spider-Verse, and then all this other stuff was coming out, and they're like, ah, crap, we've run out of time, we got to do our thing, and so they put together their show, their movie to come out, and I think it's great, and. The point of it is not what you what might expect, I guess. Like, it is a, it is comedy, it is action, it is, you know, family drama, it is, like, all of the, many, many genres are crammed into
it. Is it a four-quadrant movie, is that what you're saying?
No, I would not bring children to it.
Is it the hot dog fingers that freaks them out?
Worse than that, but you know, it is an adult movie, let's say, but it is it's fun, and oddly enough, nothing in it feels like, you know, just gratuitous. It feels like it's there for fun, and that also is present in the audience reaction that's in the movie theater too, because there are some things that happen that are absurd, and they're supposed to be absurd. And you have other people in the room with you who are reacting to the absurdity by you know, sort of chuckling or whatever. And you realize, yeah, we're all kind of like in on this joke. We understand the joke of the movie. We are correctly receiving the message that this is this outlandish, surreal thing that's occurring. So I enjoyed that. Having said that, I don't plan on going to the movie theater like every Friday and being like, what's playing? I don't care. I'm going to buy a ticket for anything. Because I
support your local cinemas.
No, I don't. I don't want to. You know, Mark Cuban can do that. That's his theater company, right? Landmark. Anyway, they had also, what?
No, I have, I apologize. I just noticed that I was broadcasting only music to everyone for a very long time.
Daniel? Dan?
Yes. No, like I everything was recording, just we weren't broadcasting it. Sorry. You were talking about Mark Cuban.
So anyway,
sorry,
the important thing is to be part of a live right audience event. That where they're not just playing music.
I mean, these are only the kinds of things that can happen in a live theater type environment. Whereas if you were just listening to this podcast on Netflix, you wouldn't get the same experience that you're getting right now, where I forgot to click the switch button. It turns off the stock music and lets you hear us talk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just casually noticed out of the corner of my eye, the waveform on the YouTube thing looked way too uniform for a voice.
Mm. Well, we also had some feedback about that.
Oh, did we?
Mm. Yes.
In the Slack? See, my other Slack is blowing up, so I couldn't
Doesn't matter. We've rectified the problem, and we also immortalized the problem as part of this episode for people to
Nobody will ever hear that. No, that's fine. We'll cut all this out. Nobody cares.
Yeah. So anyway, I don't know. I thought it was worth going, and I am glad that I saw it. And I do wish it was also available in home video, because I would want to just watch it again. And it kind of left me with such a positive feeling, not just about the movie, but about like making movies and about doing things that have audience reactions.
Oh, did it revitalize your filmmaker
juices?
Yeah, my
heart grew three sizes that day. I found it to be such a good thing to ingest into my being that I highly recommend it for anybody else to watch Everything Everywhere All at Once.
And for the people listening now who didn't hear the first 20 minutes of the show, you're talking about Everything Everywhere All at Once. Yeah. Did it live up to the name? Was it Everything Everywhere All at Once?
Yes. Also, we're not talking about the movie. This is no spoilers. But
yeah, no.
Anyway,
Joe's just saying he
why are we recapping this? Live.
Well, for the live people, because this is a live experience. God. Remember, just like your cinema enjoyment.
This is gonna be a terrible podcast episode. So anyway, it made me feel good about it, and so I didn't want to come down off of that high by watching some garbage crap, or watching something that might be just sort of mediocre swell, but runs for 3 hours. So I didn't want to do that.
Hmm. Fair enough. Mm-hmm. Fair enough.
No judgment.
You can watch Batman when you're already feeling bad about yourself. When you've lost the high of that film.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure I'm going to no longer appreciate the joy and optimism that it brings me very shortly. But there's no reason to waste 3 hours on not your dad's Batman. Darker and grittier and longer.
Yeah. I feel like this Batman would really, like, if his dad would tell him to, go outside and get some sunlight because he's being a goofy teenager.
Well, his dad can't do that because his dad was killed.
Well, that's what Alfred's there for, I guess.
So anyway, the other thing, did you see that meme that was going around a little while ago where they took a still frame of every Batman movie and TV show that's been out there, basically. I'm sorry, not all the TV shows, but the 1960s version, which I guess was the movie. And then you had all the different Batman, and it just got progressively darker, darker, and darker, and darker, and darker.
Oh, just the frame itself?
Yeah, because all the, everything's just so dark and gritty, dark and gritty, dark and gritty, over and over and over, until you get down towards the end, and then it had this Batman, and then it had another sequel to this one, and it was, like, barely visible, and then the last one was just like a black frame.
I did not see that, but send it to me if you find it. Yeah. It's a very dark movie.
Yeah,
he exists only in the darkness.
He exists in a world beyond our world.
Techno music, TVR in front of the club.
Swordfish.
Yeah, it's so good. It occasionally pops up on my shuffle when I just decide to let iTunes run shuffle on all of my music, not just playlists and stuff.
Do you think it's possible we're going to go long enough in our lifetimes that we will see them remake Swordfish?
Absolutely not. All of the things that we would enjoy or we would have nostalgia for are the things like the style of it that you just can't do anymore. It would be like the new Matrix movie, because it would have that same sort of like oversaturated sort of high contrast feel that just doesn't fit in movies anymore.
No. See, I disagree with you here, Dan.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, because I think Gen Z would appreciate a throwback to the 90s because they seem to be obsessed with that.
A time when you could order a triple espresso at a coffee shop and smoke your thin little cigars and pontificate about capitalism and things.
Yeah, or have your cafe au lait and that big cereal bowl thing that they would give it to you in. I was just thinking about that earlier because I saw an Instagram ad for CB2, which is the Crate and Barrel's, like, I guess, edgier modern version. And they seem to be going from the sort of like mid-80s stuff that they were doing for a while with like the, you know, really flared lampshades and stuff like that to now going into the late 80s, where you get sort of the like Delia from Beetlejuice kind of furniture stuff going on. And so I'm like, I wonder how long we're going to go before we get to like that, you know, mid 90s, like burgundy and like heavy wood and hunter green trim stuff. And then there's going to be like huge sweaters everybody's wearing and all that.
Oh, that stuff's already here.
Yeah.
It's happening.
It's going to happen soon. And then we're going to have like curly Q letters too. Remember those?
At least the only thing I can say, and I'm sure every generation feels this way, is that at least the sort of like false memory of the time that you have nostalgia for is like reframed and slightly curated with a modern eye. So you're like, they are truly forgetting most, like the vast majority of the very bad things. And they're just making slightly better versions of the stuff that happened back then, which is like, you look at it and you go like, style's not really, it wasn't good back then. It's not good now, but at least it's like got a, you can't help but have a slightly modern spin on it. So it's slightly less bad.
Well, I mean,
this couch is weird looking.
Yeah. It's been going on for a while. Like obviously it seems like every 30 years, there's this nostalgic trend to go backwards and pull from something.
There's a triangular block of wood that's an end table for $800.
Yeah, yeah. See what I was saying when I said, like, very, like, Delia from Beetlejuice kind of stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, the, but yeah, there's, you know, it's been going on for a while. Like, remember when we were teenagers and there was a trend towards, like, the 60s mod stuff?
Yeah.
Remember that? Like all the Austin Powers things and the flowers and VW Bug.
I went to
remember the Flower Power iMac?
Savers and Goodwill and purchased some shirts from the 70s.
Mm.
Oh, these are interesting. Drawer pulls and mirrors and things.
Okay, I didn't really intend to derail you into looking at everything on the CB2 website.
Well, I mean, first of all, CB2 is, I don't know. It's the prequel to that Chris Rock movie. I was, never mind. The nostalgia thing is weird. Oh, I was going to tell you before we left movies that I also watched a silly movie for adults full of hot dogs. Now available on home video.
Sausage Party?
the new Jackass movie.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess at least you didn't say Sausage Party, but I don't know if this is any better.
I mean, it's the same thing. There's a lot of wieners in that movie, my friend. Especially, even for a Jackass movie.
It's not comforting me in any way.
Yeah. I wouldn't call it a comforting movie. It's, you know, it's just a slightly less entertaining version of the ones that had come before it.
Mm. That's how these sorts of things go.
Yeah. Oh, Derek mentioned Stranger Things in the chat. Did you watch the trailer for the new Stranger Things?
No. I think I
saw. Like, you don't.
I saw the trailers for things. I didn't watch the last season either, and I think I watched like half of the second one. I don't even remember.
My God.
I don't know. It just like,
how could you?
It's got its shtick and whatever. And if you like it, I guess fine. But
it's still entertaining, and it's got the cool synth music and stuff.
I guess, but I could just listen to the synth music. I don't have to. Like, watch it.
It, you know, you could feel more when you remember what it was evoking.
I suppose.
I mean, whatever. The new season comes out in like a month or two, and it's gonna be cool.
Great.
I'm excited.
I mean, okay. Here's another reason why I didn't like, why I fell off the Stranger Things wagon. I guess. I don't like when an entire season of a series. Well, I don't like children either, but I don't like when an entire season of a series drops on a Friday night. I have stuff to do. I am not going to sit there and watch it. But basically, less than 24 hours after Netflix puts Stranger Things out there, it is so desirable for click farms and everything else to, like, you know, chop shop the entire thing up into screen grabs and what did this moment mean and all this other stuff. And then they just flood the internet with it. And so you can't enjoy it or watch it like at any kind of like pace that is reasonable without like colliding with all of the stuff that's trying to make money off of the fact that you watched it as fast as possible.
Well, you just got to mute all Stranger Things related topics on Twitter. I mean, I guess, you know, you could just do what you're doing now and just wait 2 years until you've forgotten everything and then go watch it.
Yeah, possibly. I mean, and I also, you know, I don't like having asynchronous conversations about a television show. I don't know if that makes any sense, but like
you don't have to talk to anybody about it.
Well, but that's part of the part of media enjoyment for me. I don't know if you've noticed on this 351st episode of this podcast, but I like talking to people about stuff I watch.
Fair point.
Yeah. So I want to, you know, be able to have a conversation with someone, and I don't like playing that game of like, what episode are you on? And like, oh, I don't know. And you know, you can't find like a place to chit chat about where things are going because everything's just all up in the air. Whereas with a weekly release show, you can have basically a week to talk about that episode. So if you can't watch it right away, whatever, you just watch it 2 or 3 days later, and then you can still join in on that conversation that's happening. And then you watch the next one, and then everybody does the same thing again.
I guess I didn't remember that Stranger Things dropped all of their episodes at once.
That's Netflix's thing. And speaking of, I know this is not going to be a timely announcement later, but they had their quarterly earnings, and it's the first time they've lost subscribers since 2011. And it's not a huge number or big really, except that they're going to be losing like a lot more next quarter in the forecast, et cetera. But, it's just one of those things where I just wonder if they would be comfortable experimenting with weekly releases, or at least releasing in chunks. Because, like the Pirate Show, I watched it after all the episodes were out there, but a lot of people had watched it, because I think it was released in chunks of like 2 and 3 episodes at a time for its run. And that made it easier to get through because it was a slower paced show, but also you didn't get bored enough to not come back to watch the next episode. So that was an interesting way to do that. And I wonder if Netflix might be interested in playing with their release schedule a little bit on things like this, where you can try to build buzz instead of just like farting it out there, and then like the only people who are going to care about it are going to be like Vulture and you know, Business Insider and whoever else is writing up their click farm pieces.
I mean, maybe once we all go back to the office when COVID's over, we'll have a communal place to gather around the water cooler and discuss weekly television programs.
What Skype needs in this new awful version of Skype is just like virtual water cooler. So
I bet there is one in here.
It just puts us around, like, completely out of scale, just like, and it's just like overlapping in bizarre ways, stationed around a water cooler.
Okay, so I'm looking at the together mode options. There's what looks like The Last Supper mixed with an airplane. There's a room full of balloons. There's a bar. There's like a tiki hut at sunset. There's a what I can only describe as like a brunch restaurant that has a bar. There's the amphitheater thing. There's like a Greek amphitheater type style thing. Some rocks. Great. A living room. A snowy living room. Oh, there's the multicolored chair college thing. Ooh, this looks like Duck Hunt. Oh, it's called Minecraft. Never mind. Really, I've never seen Minecraft before.
Did you see Jason Momoa is going to be in the Minecraft movie, doing something?
Those words don't mean anything. Those words don't mean anything to me because I don't know what that means. Great, sure. Is he perfect fit? Is he bad fit? I don't have a thought on the matter.
It's sort of like just when they announce any of these other like games, movies based on games, where there's no actual like plot to the thing. You know, they're like, we're gonna make a Candyland game, and it's like, all right, like I guess, you know. You do whatever, and then I guess they usually wind up being canceled. Remember when Ridley Scott was going to direct a Monopoly movie?
I think I remember that.
Yes,
I remember the Monopoly movie. I don't remember it had anything to do with Ridley Scott.
Yeah, I mean, I think people just like take on these things and then like they burn through the development dollars and then they all just agree to part their ways, you know? Like, I don't know how else to describe why these things sort of like circulate like this. It doesn't really make any sense.
I mean, you know, if people are gonna give you a bunch of money, mm-hmm. then why not?
Yeah. Yeah. Bunch of monopoly
money. I would spend a year developing a Monopoly movie for, you know, $500,000.
Mm-hmm. I mean, who among us wouldn't spend a year?
Who among us would not waste a portion of their life developing a movie around a... Is the guy with the top hat and the monocle even, like, in the game?
Oh, he has to be.
Really. He's just... But he's just the mascot. Like, he doesn't... I mean, I guess he's on the get out of jail, like the jail or whatever, right? Like
he's on a lot of the cards. There is no way you could make a Monopoly movie that did not have Top Hat Monocle guy.
But like, what, he doesn't affect the game in any way.
He's like in the game, like he's a little character in the game, like drawn into it.
Like when you pick out the card, though, you're not like, haha, you were screwed over by the banker man and go to jail.
Yeah, he's on the cards.
Yeah, but he's the cards don't have any action associated with him.
I mean, I don't know how to say this other than if you made that decision to not include him in your Monopoly movie, there would be riots in the streets. People would literally come after you and send you death threats. Like I don't know why you would even.
There would be riots on Park Avenue.
I don't know why in Atlantic. I don't even mm-hmm. know why you would entertain the notion of skipping him. And then you have to have all the stupid things, the thimble and the dog and all the little things. They all have to be there, the iron. There's
the car from the 1930s.
Yeah, there's just no way to get around doing any of that. It's all got to be in there.
I mean, they probably developed it and it turned out to be just like an off-brand Great Gatsby kind of thing.
No. It's probably just like, well, we made 1930s Jumanji, and then they decided not to do it.
So, you know, 1930s Jumanji I would watch. Although, wasn't the, in the original Jumanji, wasn't the hunter guy with the big mustache? He was kind of a 30s character, maybe a 40s character.
Like an 1800s character. But that was the, like, safari expedition stuff, that not, like, 1930s New York.
So what you're saying is really you would like to see Ridley Scott Monopoly movie?
Yeah, sure. Why not? Keep him from doing anything with aliens for at least.
You think the script is maybe on the blacklist or something? We can read it.
I don't know if it ever got to the point where they had a script. Like I said, I think it might have just been a situation where people just setting money on fire for a year. So who knows?
Did they have some rights that they needed to like do something with or let them expire?
I don't know. I have no idea. But
what's the movie that just came? Oh, I didn't realize. Where was I reading? The Morbius is really just because they needed to keep some Spider-Man IP or something. That's mostly why they made that movie.
No, well, that's why they make all of the Spider-Man movies.
I mean, sure, but like,
but here's the thing, Dan. They have to have Spider-Man movies in development, otherwise their rights to Spider-Man and all associated characters revert to Marvel. So they can't sit on it. They have to keep going, basically, as part of the contract, which is why they always have something in development. Even if it does go anywhere, it has to like be something that if they got taken to court, they could say like, hey, we were making something. So,
but what happened to the, like, we're playing on the same team now and partnering stuff that they were doing with the Holland Spider-Mans?
Well, that was a special deal, basically.
Just this last one? Was that what it was?
No. The three Tom Holland movies.
Mm-hmm.
Those were all special deals.
Yeah. The last one here. Okay, so all three of his.
Yes, all three. They were all a special deal. Where basically Sony said, we don't know what to do. And then Marvel, you know, Kevin Feige, is like, I don't want to see you ruin this character. Please just let us help you make this not terrible. Cause we want to use him and stuff. And we don't want you to just like run him into the ground to the point where the rights revert back to us, but we can't use anything from it. So they came up with a solution where they could have, Spider-Man and other Marvel stuff, like, go back and forth between, you know, the Spider-Man movie and the other Marvel MCU movies owned by Disney. And this deal works because Sony is technically producing the Spider-Man movie, but Kevin Feige is a producer on the movie too and is contributing and working on it, and they can pull from any of the MCU stuff. Whereas the Tom Hardy Venom movie and this Jared Leto disaster, they are in a different category because those ones are entirely produced by Sony and they are not considered to be part of the MCU. They are considered to be in the Sony universe of Marvel characters or something like that. It is some awful name. But there are all the ancillary stuff that they can do things with that are Spider-Man characters that are not Spider-Man. And the same goes for Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, which is also in that sort of like ancillary, not connected to the MCU area. And
so the Tom Holland partnering movies do not re-up their IP control. So they need to do separate IP re-uppings with the Venoms and the Morbiuses.
Well, no, I believe the Tom Holland ones do still count, but they are trying to capitalize on the success of that by making other movies because they want to have the same sort of success that Disney sees when they're able to have people show up for a Spider-Man thing, or people show up for a Thor thing, or people show up for, you know, et cetera. So if you say, here's this tangentially related, like, Morbius movie, then, you know, you can get some people duped into sitting in a chair to watch that. And I won't spoil anything for anybody, but I watched the most recent Spider-Man now that it's available on home video. And they sort of resolve some things about what universes things are occurring in. So, you know, just reflect on that, I suppose. But yeah, it is.
I watched it too. I enjoyed it.
Okay. So you saw the final credit scene?
The final credit scene.
Credits. Cameo.
I'm sure I did.
Appearance in the credits. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Cameo appearance in the credits.
It don't say what it is in case somebody hasn't.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, yeah. Gotcha. I know. The thing at the bar.
Yes. Just don't say anything because I don't want to.
I'm not going to say anything.
Spoil anything for anybody. But yeah, they sort of like resolve some issues. So anyway, it doesn't make any. I don't think that they were cynically just making Morbius because they needed to prove they were developing something. I think that, unfortunately,
they had a lot of internal faith in a Jared Leto vampire movie.
Well, unfortunately, I think that's absolutely the case because the producers, Matt Tomalak and Avi Arad, are awful people and terrible at their jobs. And so they just don't have any sense of good taste or skill, really, and they just kind of make these disasters. Because they were also the producers on the Amazing Spider-Man movies, the Andrew Garfield ones, and they're the ones who technically are also listed on the Spider-Man No Way Home movie as producers, but they're really not contributing anything there. It's just because of how the contracts all work out that they're involved in that. But they are still making these movies for Sony in order to capitalize and have their own success. They just are bad. They're just terrible at their jobs, which is why they made this terrible movie. There are a bunch of other movies that have been in development and have been canceled over time and brought back into development and canceled again. And so that always happens with them. And then they just make awful decisions with things, I guess.
I don't know these guys.
Yeah, well, that's because they're bad at their jobs and they can't do anything else. Their success is only from milking this IP for all it's worth via their connections.
IP milk.
Mm-hmm. Very funny.
Get it? It sounds
I know. I got it. We all got it, Dan.
I mean, technically, we all pee milk.
No, we don't.
I mean, you know, if you drink milk,
Dan, I have,
you pee.
I have some serious concerns about the kind of milk that you consume.
And now we have one title suggested. It's just IP milk. Oh boy. So you're gonna see Morbius when it comes out?
No, it's already out.
I mean, on home video. You're not gonna go to theaters. Oh no. Watch that.
Yeah, no, never under any circumstances. No. Hmm. No.
Did you letterboxed your Spider-Man thoughts? I don't remember seeing that.
Yeah, I did it the other day.
Hmm. Did you enjoy it?
It was fine.
Oh, you did say a thing. I remember you said a thing.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't like it as much as I appeared to have liked it, I think.
No, I mean, I don't want to get in trouble for this, especially since we're not discussing that movie, so I don't want anybody to be upset.
It's a grab bag episode. It's a hot takes, quick hot takes.
Quick hot takes, yeah. So my quick hot take is that I wish it had been more than the sum of its parts, and I feel like it was a lot about, hey, look at all these parts. So that's my feeling on that. You know, the parts that have IP milk, basically. Mm.
It didn't touch you. It didn't bring a tear to your eye.
No. I mean, there are emotionally moving parts of it, but overall, at the end of it, it's just like, okay, so it was just a Spider-Man movie, like any other Spider-Man movie.
There were more consequences than other Spider-Man movies, don't you think?
I can't say there were or there weren't because of how things work out.
Because of how things work out, because Marvel could just be like, in the next Spider-Man movie, he finds a thing in Tony Stark's footlocker that lets him reverse time and fix stuff that he doesn't like.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, they're gonna, you know, keep banging stuff. It doesn't matter. It felt like...
Is he coming back? I forget. Was this the movie that he was, like, gonna quit, but Sony let him do the thing, or is Tom Holland signed up to do more Spider-Mans?
I don't actually know off the top of my head, because I wasn't following that section of the news. I have to imagine they are gonna continue making them, because Tom Holland's not, like, dead or anything. I think he enjoys doing them. But it's, you know... I don't know how they seem to take some gaps in between making these things because they have to, you know, figure out how it fits into the rest of the MCU plan for where they're going with stuff. So we'll see.
Is the MCU still doing things? I mean, is it still cinematically united?
Yeah. Remember did you see the trailer for Sam Raimi's Doctor Strange Into the Multiverse of Madness?
Yeah, but I mean, it doesn't feel like there's much cohesion with things anymore.
Well, it feels like it follows on from the events of this last thing and also incorporates some of the events of the WandaVision television show.
Mm.
Did you watch
I
that?
I guess we'll see. I did.
Mm-hmm. What did you think of that one?
I didn't. I enjoyed it. It was fun. Mm-hmm. I didn't watch the Falcon one or the Hawkeye one or... There was another one I didn't watch, I don't
think. Moon Knight.
I haven't watched Moon Knight.
Yeah, I haven't watched Moon Knight, although I'll probably give it a shot. But the Falcon one, the Falcon and the Winter Soldier, was so bad. What a disappointment. And then I don't want to watch Hawkeye because I don't like Jeremy Renner. And I know that is... some people might view that as unfortunate because, oh, you should still watch it because blah, blah, blah. And it's like, yeah, I guess. But like Jeremy Renner.
It's got, what's her name in it, though?
The one who plays Kate Bishop.
I don't know. Hayley Steinfeld?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know who she plays. Don't spoil it.
Okay. Kate Bishop, but whatever. I mean, what does the name Kate Bishop mean to you?
Means she can only move in diagonals.
All right. Well, sorry, so, I spoiled that.
As Derek points out, the new Thor trailer is out, which looks very silly and fun. Doesn't look silly and or fun to you? Look at all the colors. There's colorful stuff.
I know. It looks silly, and there's probably going to be some fun in it. But I don't know if you noticed, there's a lot of Guardians of the Galaxy in there, including a lot of Chris Pratt.
Yeah.
You know, Don't love it. Don't love that, yeah. Chris Pratt.
We're well past our limit of Pratt. We don't need any more Pratt.
No.
And we're going to have to endure his Jurassic Worldness shortly here as well. Hopefully he's really downplayed in the movie because there's lots of other people in the movie. He doesn't have to be the central character.
Do you think he's going to shout at Blue this time?
Probably. Well, yeah, remember? But like, Blue has a baby. He's like, we got to go protect Blue and her baby or whatever. It's in the trailer.
Mm.
Blue needs my help to protect a raptor baby.
Okay, great.
It's his child, and his child's child. He's a raptor grandfather.
Mm.
Maybe the raptor baby's his. I don't even know. Maybe they did some DNA splicings.
Oh, man. Yeah, well, we just need to talk to Mr. DNA. No.
Maybe they're just going to morph the whole series into the Isle of Dr. Moreau, too.
Maybe they'll just stop making them.
I hope.
I mean, we talked about this with Seth last time, but that sequel, so bad. Just like... ridiculously bad. At least I think in the first Jurassic World, it's like, you know, there's some of this which is a little tongue-in-cheek, or, you know, you could read it a certain way as kind of a soft reboot of something or whatever, but then when you're like, no, we're gonna tie into the lore hardcore in the sequel, but then also we're gonna, like, we don't understand how, you know, parody works or how to have fun or anything, then what a train wreck that was. And then, you know, this one. But yeah, it's just not that surprising because there was only one good Jurassic Park movie, and that was the first one. So, you know.
The third one was okay.
It was okay, but it had like a, as we discussed at the time, like a made-for-TV movie kind of like level of stuff going on there.
Maybe like made for Showtime. Not, I wouldn't say like made for Lifetime or something.
No, like a CBS special.
Now, the second one, despite the fact that I think just earlier today I saw somebody tweeting the sequence with the, you know, the gymnastics and such and the raptors on the roof of that whatever building, that one feels a little bit more like a TNT movie.
Yeah, I deeply dislike the second one.
Yeah.
For all of the reasons we discussed in that episode. But yeah, I don't know. I'm excited for them to, you know, run out of juice, run out of IP milk, and then they can, you know, do it over again, I guess.
Yeah, they'll just do a full reboot of Jurassic Park, the original, in a couple more years.
Yeah.
I mean, we're coming up on 2030? Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Year anniversary. So they'll just, you know, 30 years later, they'll do a new one. Jurassic Park First Class.
Mm-hmm. The untold story.
It'll be a prequel.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, haven't they talked about prequels for Jurassic Park? If they haven't, I'm shocked.
I'm sure somebody has. I mean, they've probably talked about every angle there is in order to make money off of
this
thing.
John Hammond origin stories.
Yeah.
Nedry's origin story. See, it could be a whole series. It could be multiple series.
Mm-hmm. We'll get Josh Gad to play Nedry, young Nedry.
Exactly. He could be like a government hacker, and then he becomes disillusioned, and then he takes his job at this place.
Yeah.
Derek said Cretaceous Park. That's actually pretty good. Derek, you have to stop.
Yeah. I don't know. Anyway, I was just talking about the optimism of seeing Everything Everywhere All at Once and how it made me want to go see stuff. And now we're talking about all the things that make me not want to watch any movies.
I also watched Ratatouille the other day for the first time in a long time. That's a really good movie.
Yeah, well, that's an important thing to watch.
I think so. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Made me feel things. Made me want to go to Paris and eat good food.
Did you have any questions about how the rat manipulated the guy by just pulling on his hair?
Oh, you know, it's the hair bone's connected to the leg bone. I mean, what else is there to say?
Oh, I'm sorry to put you on the spot about that science right then.
I mean, I thought it was pretty clear, Joe, from the movie.
All right. Well, anyway. All right. So are you, I gotta ask, because of your situation.
Oh, what's my situation?
Where you need to be cautious about stuff. Are you going to
be cautious about stuff?
Cautious about exposure.
Are you talking about health related things?
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. Go ahead.
Are you going to go back to watch a movie in the movie theater this year? Do you think, or do you think you're not going to feel comfortable enough to resume doing that yet? Quite yet.
I think if I could do like a midday or an off day thing, I might be inclined to try it out. Especially because, you know, around here, movie theaters are dying. And I think at most you're going to get like 4 people in the theater. Mm-hmm. They're just, you know, very few movies that I would want to endure that for. And also I have to pee a lot. Like I like my pause button. The answer is probably no, but like I would entertain the idea if something great came along. I don't know. I mean, I don't think Thor is going to get me out of my house. What else? I don't think Jurassic World is not going to get me out of my house. What else is there? It's weird that like these kinds of movies, the massive spectacle movies, have been relegated to home theater more than, you know, some of the more indie ones that I would be more inclined to go see.
See, I feel like some of that is due to the sort of episodic nature of these big spectacle, interrelated universe, everything happening means something in this other movie kind of feel. It kind of makes it feel more like, hey, I'm just, you know, it's just another episode of this thing, just another episode of TV. Although I know it's, you know, reductive to say such a thing. It makes it feel less special or noteworthy or unpredictable. It feels like it has a certain safety. And if you are already used to watching Marvel stuff at home, why would you not continue watching Marvel stuff at home? Would be what I would say to that. I know the experience, like we said, a lot of people are just like, yeah, man, when Spider-Man did that thing, and then everybody cheered, yay! And the audience just went wild. And it's just like, yeah, I guess that, you know, it could probably like tap into something for somebody, but I don't care about that, and I'd rather...
The audience experience,
yeah.
the collective emotion.
Yeah, I mean, I don't care about that for like a Marvel movie or something like that. It's like, I know how I feel about this without having to like tap into like the audience zeitgeist of like feelings about this. So I don't quite need that emotional connection. But, you know, there are, for many people, that is a thing. It's just, like I was just talking about with Everything Everywhere All at Once, which I do think is worth seeing in the movie theater, there are some scenes in the movie where it actually helps to have, you know, the audience kind of react along with you. But it just doesn't feel as essential when I think about Marvel or Jurassic World or any of that, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. I can't think of an instance really where I wanted to have any recognition of the fact that there were people around me in a movie theater.
I just kind of like it because, you know, you can focus. It's got a nice big screen, good sound system. As long as you're not watching a Christopher Nolan movie, it can feel special. In the past, and then it just is, you know, more difficult. It's not as it felt like it was easier to do, I should say, I don't mean just like, you know, 2 to 3 years ago. I mean, remember when you were a teenager and it would be like, we're all going to go to AMC West Shore 14 and watch a movie because it's the new multiplex that opened and we're going to go check out the latest thing that's out.
Your new multiplex was only a 14? Sucks to be you.
Well, that was because it was the mid-90s. The AMC 24 opened on Veterans Expressway, but that was further outside of the city center.
Yeah, we had a 24.
Take a toll road.
We're still there. Toll road.
Mm-hmm.
Good lord, what is this? The Dark Ages?
No, it's Florida. Just, well, I mean, it's the same thing. freedom means fees. Feed them. It was like a social thing where you could do with your friends, but I can't think of any occasion where I think the last time I went to go see a movie with someone else was when I went to go see The Remnant with Rye.
And is that when you saw each other in the bathroom?
No. That was a different time where I was watching something else with Jason. It was completely unrelated, and we just walked past each other because he happened to be going into the bathroom and he was going to watch something else. But we saw each other at the movie theater on purpose the other time to watch The Remnant. And I didn't like it, and it didn't matter. It's not the kind of movie where you cheer and you go, yeah, go Remnant, go. Like, that's not that kind of thing. So it really added nothing to the audience experience for me. Not the least of which, because I was next to Rye, and he was also wearing a DeFocus t-shirt. But it was a different color than the DeFocus t-shirt I was wearing, but it was just kind of awkward. So I zipped up my hoodie, and so then I was just overheated. But anyway, there's just like, there's so much social stuff around movie theaters that we just don't have anymore, but I don't want to do share play or any of this stuff where it's like dial in your friend and you can, you know, have each other's reactions while you're watching in your home. And
let's share play a movie. No. Why don't we do our whole podcast as share play now?
Because that'd be terrible, Dan. That's why.
The live experience. We'll offer a premium subscription for the live audience. They can share play a movie with us.
Yeah, great. And then we'll just pause it for all the bathroom breaks.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, you know, you need snacks, you need popcorn, you need to hit the restroom, do what you got to do. Intermissions.
Yeah. Pee your milk. So, in any event, movies. Magic.
Is there anything you're looking forward to at any point here?
No. I don't want to go back to a movie theater at all, really. I can't think of anything that's on the calendar coming out that I want to go see. But, you know, that may change. Is there... You can't think of anything, right?
I don't know. Let's see. 2022 movies. See what's coming out. You got your Batman. What is the... This X movie has just come up several times in the past few days. It's some sort of weird horror-y type movie.
I don't need to see a horror movie, let alone in theaters.
Yeah. Well, yeah. The bad guys is, oh, right, it's a animal animated movie.
Yes.
Using a Billie Eilish song, of course, sure. The dog movie, that one's already out, sure. What are these movies?
Yeah. Seem to not...
Is that Ben Affleck? Oh, this is the Ben Affleck movie with What's-Her-Name that he dated and they broke up before the movie even came out.
What's-Her-Name? You mean J-Lo? Oh, no, no.
No, no.
Oh, no, the Ana de Armas movie.
There you go.
Yeah.
The girl whose name sounds like that spicy pepper.
Okay.
Chili Darble. There's multiple Chris Pine movies. Is he having a resurgence?
I guess. I don't know.
Oh, there's this weird Zac Efron movie where he's all dirty in the desert. No, thank you.
No. I mean, Zac Efron. I mean, he's really like a study in like fighting against the stereotype that was placed on him, and it's just like, but don't, because like nobody wants to watch you do all this stuff. But you know, I mean, I guess that was true of Leonardo DiCaprio, and look at him now.
Has he been getting into artsier films?
I don't know. Is it the thing he's in artsy? It just seems like he just does things that are just sort of like, you know, rough, I guess, for lack of a better descriptor.
Okay, now here's a statement that may be controversial that I don't want to have any debate about. There's a new Scream movie. I don't care about it. I didn't care about any of the Scream movies previously. I've seen 5 minutes or something of the first movie. I don't like it. Never going to watch them. Don't care.
Okay, well, I mean, it already came out in theaters. It's done.
No, I don't. Okay, great. Good for those people who wanted to watch that movie.
You can't make me watch this thing I can't see in theaters. thank you for putting it on your foot.
I have no positive feelings about the Scream franchise.
I like the first movie. I don't have anything positive that I feel about the second movie, really, and then I didn't watch any of the other ones.
I found the opening of the first movie so beyond grotesque that I had no interest in watching the rest of it. Oh, Top Gun Maverick. How could we forget the one movie that's really going to get us to go to the theater or watch it in IMAX?
But I don't... I don't want to.
But, you know, it's Tom Cruise and jets and stuff, and it's got that that what is even the instrument that makes that sound from the Top Gun movies? You know the sound I'm talking about.
Synthesizer?
That like weird detuned like kind of bass sound.
Sure, that detuned bass.
You know the sound I'm talking about. Right. It's like one note that is under the first like half of the trailer.
Yeah. Well, we need to reach out to Hans Waldermeier and ask him. Although I know Hans Zimmer's scoring this one, strangely enough, instead of Waldermeier.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
It's
big changes, yeah. I guess, right? Oh, Better Call Saul is back too. That's a good show.
It's not a movie theater.
Well, we were talking about shows earlier.
I know, I don't know. I don't actually want to see Top Gun in the movie theater. I just feel like it's gonna be long, kind of boring.
That's what she said.
Yeah.
Probably. I mean, it's not McQuarrie. He's writing it. Who? Some other person's writing.
Yeah,
right?
We talked about this before with someone else.
Someone off podcast. Mm-hmm. Top Gun Maverick.
Runtime.
Why does it not say how long it is?
No, they haven't released runtime, probably.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's probably too long.
Yeah, I'm going to guess it's going to be somewhere between 2.5 and 3 hours.
Let's place our bets now. I'm going to say 2:36.
Are we doing Price is Right rules?
We are. Closest without going. Don't you dare do it. You can't do a dollar. No. Sorry. You can't do a dollar.
Okay.
There's a minimum threshold.
All right. I'm going to say 2 hours and 40 minutes.
Okay. All right. We're close. I mean, let's be honest. It's not going to be shorter than 2 hours and 9 minutes under any circumstances.
None. That was the original, right?
Oh, I have no idea.
Oh.
I'm just like, that's a number that so many movies use these days. It's either 1 hour and 58 minutes because they don't want it to be 2 hours, or it's 2 hours and 9 minutes, or like 2 hours and 14 minutes because they want it to be over 2 hours but not too much longer.
Yeah, well, see, I really think it's going to be like 2 hours and 43 minutes or 2 hours and 47 minutes or something like that. Not 2 hours and 40 minutes, but I think that if I were to guess one of those, I'd be wrong. So it's better safer to guess the nice round 40 instead.
Mm. Mm-hmm. I didn't give myself much wiggle room. I should have said 32, but I'll stick with my 36 now.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, who knows? I mean, if you guess exactly 2 hours and 36 minutes and it turns out to be right, you feel like a genius.
I am a genius.
Mm-hmm.
What if they hear me say this and they decide to, you know, just slow down the credits a little bit more to, you know, make it work? Mm-hmm. Do you, when you look at the runtime of a movie, how many minutes do you subtract in your head for the credits?
It varies depending on the age of the film and the kind of film it is. If it is an animated film, I know that there's going to be a ton of credits. And if it is a Marvel movie, I know there's going to be a ton of credits. And if it's a like small independent 1990s movie, I know there's going to be like 2 minutes of credits. So it just kind of is something that I think about as I'm watching it. I was kind of surprised by the lengthy credits of Cliffhanger the other week. So I kind of expected that to be shorter, but I guess they just really wanted to credit all the other like units and stunt performers and everything that they needed to have, which, you know, good, like credit all the people who worked on the film. Not disagreeing with that. It just surprised me that there were so many people who worked on it.
Hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know where Google is getting this information, but Google says the movie is 2 hours and 11 minutes, but neither Wikipedia nor IMDb has that information. So I don't know what their source is.
I don't know. I have my doubts because what are we going to do if it is actually 2 hours and 11 minutes? Because then we both went over.
I mean, at the very least, we will have won by saying it won't be less than 2:09.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
we'll take our victories where we get them. We'll rewrite history. We control this episode. We'll just edit it. Make ourselves. We'll put it through Descript and change our words.
Yeah. No. Thank you. I don't know. I just don't. It's not appealing to me. A lot of these movies these days, just are bigger and longer, and it doesn't feel like
uncut.
Yeah. It doesn't feel like it benefits the movie, or me. Like you were talking about bathroom breaks, like. The thought of sitting through a 3-hour movie is just awful. It just is crushing, soul crushing, bladder crushing. Just everything, just painful.
We're not young men anymore.
What? No, we're not. I can't, you know, time was that I could go to the midnight screening for a Lord of the Rings movie, where they're, you know, remember back on, like, the, there was always confusion, because it was like, is this the Wednesday night at midnight, or is this actually Thursday at midnight for the next day?
I remember before they were screwing us over, pushing opening weekends to Wednesdays, yeah. Thursday was the earliest it was going to be.
Yeah. But jerks. You know, you do the midnight thing, and there'd be all the other, like, greasy people there, getting in line to watch the Lord of the Rings movies. I mean, I know you don't personally have that experience because you didn't watch any of the Lord of the Rings movies, but that was like something where you really needed to have like endurance for that, because you'd be up for a while. You would have been up all day, and you would be up more than that into the evening. But I guess that's what Mountain Dew Code Red was for, and now, as my body breaks down from old age, I can't do that. I can't experience the magic of cinema like that. But I can't push the pause button, and I can go to bed, and I can watch it again the next day.
You haven't had to do any work-related, not all-nighters. We don't pull all-nighters anymore, but, like, you know, late nights to really, like, test your endurance recently, have you?
No, I think the latest was like 1 something.
That's still pretty good.
Yeah, I have, I'm pretty grumpy.
Well, yeah.
If someone were to ask me to stay late and I felt like the reason to stay late didn't exist, then I would be pretty cross. And might say things like, I have a heart out, or something, because I'm not going to put in the time and effort and waste my time and effort. I think it's also worth pointing out that some people, you know, not to turn this into a tirade about work, but some people think being at work or being online for work in these days, that availability and being there means that you are doing your best work at all times, no matter what, and that there is no performance drop-off or any kind of quality control errors or sleepiness or anything that can get into it, and it doesn't in any way compromise the next day's worth of work. And those people are wrong, and I deeply disagree with their philosophy on how they try to manage time of not just their own time, but other people. Because you're not at your most productive and you're not doing your best work, and you're frequently left with big patches of time where nothing productive is actually occurring. So you need to really work harder, not smarter. And I hate that, because I prefer to work efficiently, and I don't want to just scramble on adrenaline alone. But because some supervisors got to where they are in the world because they do that,
they
feel like everybody needs scramble to go.
Is a different thing.
Yeah.
That's a different question altogether, because nobody enjoys that. But if you've had the opportunity to, you know, okay, we agree there's a reason to stay a little late here. Let's settle in, because we're here till it's done or whatever. Just like seeing how you react to that versus how you used to. I used to be, you know, doesn't make a difference to me if I stop at 1 o'clock or, 8 p.m. or something. Like, let's just push through till it's done, and then I'll be all so hyped up from work at 1 a.m. I'll still want to keep working. It's like, no. You've really got to sort of like hunker down, because the mental atrophy is extremely, it's not even linear, it's exponential, and you really got to just sort of understand what you're going to do there.
Yeah, and to add to that, you have a certain elasticity to you. As a younger person, in terms of your ability to be up all night and then still show up early the next day or something, that is not present as an adult, where you are crumbling and decaying visibly in front of the mirror, even from the slightest loss of an hour of sleep. So it is very important, I think, to keep that kind of perspective that some people just don't really think about very much, unfortunately. So anyway, I don't want to go watch a midnight screening of Top Gun with you, and I'm very thrilled that you asked, but no thank you.
It's Highway to the Danger Zone.
The danger,
that song's got to be in the movie, right?
I would assume so.
You think they're going to do it like in a jokey tongue-in-cheek way where he's like playing it on his Walkman and the kids are like, what kind of song is that, old man?
It's very probable, actually. I feel like if there ever was a sequel that is going to have like the sort of like formulaic check, you know, checklist kind of things, it's going to be this.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. There's going to be shiny volleyball men. There's motorcycles. We've seen that from the trailer. There's old motorcycles. There's new motorcycles. You've got that sound that I don't know what it is, but it's the sound.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I guess people can be happy about stuff if they want to and watch it, but Top Gun mainly means something to me because it would be on TV, on cable, and you would catch part of it at a time. And so it was a ridiculous thing that would be on TV. I didn't really sit down and watch Top Gun beginning to end until much later in my life.
It didn't take your breath away.
No, it didn't. And like,
bow, now, 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 now.
And like the like gauzy sex scene, like stuff, like, no, thank you. That's
the silhouetted, like full blue room.
Mm-hmm. No, thank you. I like that. This just doesn't, I don't have any like feelings about that sort of situation. But it is,
the 80s are many things to you, but they're not sexy.
I mean, I think what the 80s thought was sexy is funny. So I guess that's one thing, but I don't find what the 80s thought was sexy to be sexy. So that's
says a lot about you, doesn't it?
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I don't know.
Okay,
I mean,
fair enough.
It's fine.
We won't share play a Top Gun Maverick.
Well, we couldn't because it would be in a IMAX movie theater.
Well, you know, eventually.
But then defeats.
We'll hack it. We'll put it on our plexus.
Okay, sure. Well, on that note, it's time to end this podcast and to take your breath away. Literally, because you stopped talking.
To take the highway to the danger zone.
Mm-hmm. Take the IP to the mill.
That doesn't make